Actually, I went to the doctor and I have like some gallbladder issues and I'm in a lot of pain, but it's okay as long as I don't eat fat or drink beer. So basically, either I'm going to be in pain forever or I'm going to die. But other than that, I'm doing super swell. How are you?
Fine. You know what? You have to pay some dues for being a homeowner, even if it is owning a home in Alabama. You still have to, there has to be some negatives to the just rocket ship ride of the life of Kim Martell.
Yeah, dude, I just got quartz countertops. They are amazing.
Wow. Countertop flex.
Roughly
I don't believe that
24
was
to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned three specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they will now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
In this field-harrowing episode of The Stab Show, Mom Hat Studios' Kim Martell has to solve a series of riddles left scattered across the city, and oh, the doctor was his mother? She's got it. Never mind. Hilarious comedian Jack Murray has to track down the Craigslist futon murderer and discover what exactly it is they have against used transformable couches. And wrapped around a horse's Eric Barger is locked in a basement by a madman, slowly filling with water. But fortunately, nut jobs don't hire the best contractors, and it's leaking faster than it can fill up. All of this while me, your host, Jesse Jones, just broke his only pair of reading glasses sitting outside of a post-apocalyptic library. I finally had time. All of this and so much more tonight on Stab. Now let's dive right into the program with segment one, it's reorganization. I like to think of myself as a pretty smart guy, but in truth, I'm a pretty dumb guy. I think I've got the track record that proves it, and no amount of Mensa memberships are going to change my truly dumb guy-ness. Which is why IMIO, or in my idiotic opinion, resonated with me this week. We're all dumb when we think about it, but thinking is what gets us into dumb trouble in the first fucking place. So let's forget about what IMIO might already mean to some, and instead give me who or what else IMIO might stand for or represent to you. Kim Martell, let's hear your IMIO.
Well, howdy there, folks. Gather round, let me bend your ear. I reckon y'all are wondering why I'm talking like this. Well, it's this here Jesse's fault. And let me tell ya, he's done asked us to imagine ourselves a tall tale. It could be a real tough row to hoe. You may think that this is just the fates doing as they see fit, but sometimes I think he's a real snake in the grass, that one. Nothing smarts worse than when a prompt based on a prompt you were previously given is then given to you maybe years before. That's a tale for another time.
What?
Well, I tell you what, I worked this prompt with every bit of grit and grease I've got. But jeepers, if I could do nothing else in the end, I made it old-timey. I made it old timey.
Yeah, no, I got it.
Oh, there's also I made it obvious, which is I made it old timey.
Yeah. So you doubled it. You doubled it up. You gave us a double.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Kim. Smooches. Love your countertops.
Just to clarify for the audience, one of Kim's prompts later is based on a prompt that she has done before. So she's going meta with something that already hasn't happened yet.
But it's...
That's a tale for another time.
It's different. It's a spin. It's a twist.
Oh, why? Fine. You are so fudging lucky that I save all of these shows. You know, some people write them in notebooks or are not organized.
Well,
are comedians super organized in general? No, Jesse, they are not.
I'm very anal. I have every script that I've ever written. So I just assume everybody else does too.
Well, you're lucky for me. You're right.
You could have listened back to it. I don't know. Thank you, Kim. And I'm sorry, Kim. And I'll say I'm sorry again later, I assume.
Yeah, I bet you will.
Oh, and I also just realized that I wrote in the file that I sent you guys, our first guest was Kim Cartel. Sorry. You can look at that. That's a tale for another time. Jack.
Get you some cocaine.
Hi there, Jack. Hello. Let's hear what you have in way of an IMIO.
IMIO is what every single Olympic fan was thinking after Anthony Ammirati knocked the bar out of place with all that girthy man meat. Please, sir, IMIO, impale my internal organs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. I've watched like 200 hours of Olympics this last couple weeks, and somehow I missed that.
You know, I've watched about 200 hours of that guy knocking the bar off.
I imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think that's not new. It would have developed some sort of twist to make it over the bar.
Yeah, but you can't compensate for everything.
All right.
And he doesn't need to, apparently.
Yeah, he's just got the second pole to worry about.
Ugh, tragic.
Yeah, that's a terrible, terrible problem to have.
Terrible problem to have.
Thank you, Jack. Hey, Eric.
Hi.
How about you give us your IMIO?
All right. Coming this fall, it's I Make Investment Offers. Hi, I'm Richard Roku, and I want to take your business to the next level. Can you stand the heat of a room with Richard Roku? That's trash. Bad offer. Cut to a confessional. I've been in the game a long time, and I know the art of the deal. Cut to Richard in the chair. Listen, I'll give you $100,000 for 16% equity, 5% royalties, and you have to marry my mom. Excuse me? Cut to confessional. I always get what I want. And what I want is for somebody to marry my mom. You see, I don't like my stepdad, Jonathan, because he never wants to play Frisbee with me. So I use my influence to try to make startup CEOs marry my mom. Mm-hmm. But the heat is always on in Richard's room. Cut to the room. Yeah, $200,000 for 35% equity, my name on the patent, and also you marry my mom. Mm-hmm. Cut to another deal. $300,000, 10% royalties. Also, you marry my mom on the beach so we can play Frisbee at the reception.
Sure.
Cut to another deal. $500,000 outright. You let me be the ring bearer when you marry my mom. I toss you the rings on top of a Frisbee. You say, good job, son, and give me a kiss on the forehead. We got a deal? Who will leave disappointed? And who will leave with a deal? After 3 seasons, I still can't get anybody to marry my mom. What's the issue? She's lovely. I mean, look at her. How did a schlub like Jonathan land a goddess like this? Anyway, that's why I brought in 2 new investors. Hi, I'm Mr. Amazing. I'm a panther in the boardroom, ready to hunt for my next prey. Unless, of course, you'll marry my mom. Hi, I'm Macy Grape. I turned a $300 business loan into a $300 million clothing empire, and I'm looking to dress down my next partner, who will also be my papa, because you have to marry my mom. Can the next batch of business owners handle this level of heat? Richard makes a deal. You're already married to each other? That's fine. I'll personally fly you out to Utah, where it is legal. You can stay at one of my Radisons, and you can both marry my mom. And we're halfway on our way to an ultimate team. Cut to Macy. This is a great deal. All you have to do is come to my ultimate games with a sign that says, Go, Macy, go, best daughter ever. I love you. Love, Papa. Cut to Mr. Amazing.
The guy says he'll do whatever it takes in business, but he won't marry somebody's mom. I'm out.
Macy, I'm out!
Marry my fucking mom! Season 4 of I Make Investment Offers, coming this fall to Tubi.
Oh, man. Oh, Eric.
Yeah?
Thank you. Thank you. We were all there. We all want to marry somebody. There were so many moms that need marrying.
Oh.
I mean, like, does she her and Jonathan seem like they're doing fine. Like, was that even considered?
You know, I thought about bringing the mom's perspective in, but, you know, it was left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I've been out of the business world too long.
Well. Yeah.
I didn't realize we were all marrying each other's moms these days.
I mean,
I'm down. But...
A lot of people broke up during the pandemic.
That's true.
My mom is delightful.
Oh, they're not broken up. He doesn't. His stepdad, Jonathan.
Eric. We've got all the lore.
You won't play frisbee. Jesse, were you like blacked out?
I heard all. You know what? I'm trying to move this along.
Are you?
After a 14-minute Eric segment, I have to move
things. That was like two and a half. You want 14 minutes? Wait till fucking hammer throw.
Oh shit.
biscuits.
Let's meet tonight's panel. Hey, Kim.
Why, hello. Wow. I thought we did this already, but I'll say hi again.
No, this is the in-show version.
Okay, I'll be much more pleasant.
Sure. How are things with Mom Hat?
Oh, my goodness. So I took a one-month hiatus where I went to Vermont and I ate so much cheese.
Okay.
And now we are back doing more recordings of... that show that we do, that's name is not escaping me, Listen to Player 2.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff and I are about to start recording more of Hen Time of Our Lives because we realized that that's all anybody wants to hear or see.
Yeah. And for the folk here, Hen Time of Our Lives.
I'm sure they've all seen it.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, they're all subscribers. So
my good friend, Michael Jeffrey Brown, and I... watch hentai video games and play them and sort of judge whether or not they're a good hentai video game, and some of them are actually very good games and I would continue playing them afterwards, and some of them are so bad that I am trying desperately to cling to anything about the game that is worth continuing to play for the next 20 minutes.
Sure.
But there's lots and lots of blurry screen and people seem to like that a lot.
Yeah, that's what they do, the pixelation. Well,
they love that pixelation. A lot of the time we put like one of our heads over the vaginas.
Sure.
I think that's going to ruin sex for somebody for the rest of their lives probably. But.
Well, or enhancing.
Yeah, it's going to become a weird thing.
Yeah, everybody's got to have a thing, Kim. Let's not yuck anybody's yums.
No, I don't yuck anybody's yums. You know that about me.
No. Well, good to have you, Kim. Hey, Jack.
I do cook. There comes.
Hello there.
Sorry.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. So good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My AC went out yesterday.
Oh, so good.
So good.
So good.
I've just been like, I don't know. It's like I'm on a retreat, just in a hut in the desert, sweating.
Yeah. I mean, some people pay a lot for sweat lodge.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So, you know what? You should count your blessings. What have you been up to, Jack?
Oh God, not a lot. Working, mostly.
Yeah.
Trying to get my shit together enough to have hobbies on top of it.
Mm.
Which is why I appreciate that every couple of months you shock me with a prompt, because I never remember when I signed up to do this show.
Yeah.
And then suddenly it's Wednesday.
Sorry.
No, it's not your fault. Yeah. It's exciting every time.
Yeah. It's like if you had access to an ice bath in your
sweat lodge. Right. Yeah. I don't.
No.
I want to make that clear.
Melt way too quickly.
Yeah.
Well, good to have you. Good to have you as always. And hey, Eric, you know I give you the old razz. I enjoy all of your prompts. Please know that.
I know.
How are you, Eric?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah.
Like I said, yeah, I got a big canker sore in the middle of my lip, so that sucks.
Sure.
But also, you know, also just a fun story about recently, you know, I make musical comedy.
Yes.
And recently, right after the first presidential debate, I started working on this song about how I was really mad that these were the two nominees. Uh-huh. And I worked really hard on it. I spent like probably like 25 hours like recording, writing, making everything sound like production value wise. Mm. And the day I was ready to put it out, Kamala Harris gets nominated after Joe steps down. Ah. So
Eric. You can't rhyme Kamala with Biden?
I don't, but here's the thing. I'm happy about Kamala. And the thing was, I wasn't happy about Biden. So the whole song became irrelevant. So it was just a frustrating thing. Not to get into politics, because I don't know how everybody feels about that. But, you know, it's my personal, that's my personal sentiment. But, yeah. Well, you know, I'll plug my Instagram at the end of the show. And the song is up there with too long disclaimer at the beginning of it.
It's still valid for the time.
No.
It still captures.
I mean, clearly
moment.
Everybody felt that way. He stepped down. Yeah. So
you were right. Congratulations, you were right. Eric. Like
I know I was right.
Yeah, in a way, you sort of psychically influenced it with your 25 hours of work. Well done. You saved the country, Eric. You're a goddamn hero.
Thank you. I agree.
Yeah. Thank you. All right, let's get back into the show. See? I've kind of streamlined the guest intros.
No, Jesse, just chef kiss. Move on.
I am doing it. Segment two, it's Bootleg It.
Go ahead and move on, Jesse.
I'm doing that.
Just keep moving.
I'm going. Segment two, it's Bootleg It. So, as previously documented, I've spent the last couple weeks glued to Olympic coverage. Then, when this is done, I'm going to watch Special Olympics just as fervently because they've got some pretty crazy awesome events. I don't know if you watched a couple years ago. There's some fucking... but all of this sportsity got me thinking about what sort of knockoff events we could come up with. So in this sporty edition of Bootleg It, you've been asked to take these world-renowned, and they are world-renowned, sports, and give us your dollar store, flea market, bargain bin, knockoff, counterfeit, or bootleg versions of each of them. Normally in Bootleg It, we take like movies and we have them do knockoffs, but this time I thought we'd do sports because Olympics. So I made it more difficult on you guys. I hope you hated it. So we're going to go 1-1-1, 2-2-2, three times around. Kim, let's get us started with your bootleg dressage.
I'm so fucking glad you did this. Welcome to the 2028 Los Angeles Olympics. We are excited to announce the introduction of the newest equestrian sport to be added to the Summer Olympics. Dressurage. This event highlights the horse's strength, flexibility, and obedience when being promised the rewards of free pizza and beer. For those of you just joining us today, dressurage consists of three main events. Of course, the first event, the event that gives the sport its name, the dressurage, in which the horses will be expected to load a large dresser onto the back of a truck with only the help of a smaller, much less motivated horse. Second, we'll be moving a couch down a flight of stairs. Points are deducted for scraping paint off of the walls or scraping the wood finish. And finally, their ability to negotiate a security deposit back from their landlord. Now, Germany's Little Biscuits has been a favorite from the beginning, but I wouldn't count out Bangladesh's Uncle Tony. He made an impressive showing at their national competition last year, which is his first year out on the scene here. He took home the gold after an impressive play where he was able to get the U-Haul back to the self-storage facility in less than an hour, securing that $19.99 price advertised on the side of the truck, which was considered impossible up to that point, but he did it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's okay. All right.
We're going to make horses move furniture because, like, what the fuck else are we doing with
them?
Why
wouldn't we?
They're useless, stupid.
Oh yeah, I forgot about.
Fucking hate horses. And Kim's stupid. Previous. And I just want to say, for those of us in the community who believe this, it should be the horses that are being given these medals, not the dumb people that are sitting on them. And you know how I feel about horses.
Wow.
It's dumb.
You hate jockeys even more than horses, and you hate horses.
Oh, and I hate horses.
So that's a deep, deep hate. Thank you, Kim. I forgot. This is supposed to be a segment twos. They're supposed to be the quick sort of And in a way, I've just added like two extra segments because you guys aren't going to... Okay. hey, Jack.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, let's hear your dressage. Your bootleg dressage.
Oh, okay, hearing you describe the prompt, it yes. did sound very irritating, but I solved that problem by not quite understanding it.
Oh, good.
So I still did movies. Hillary Courtney Stacy Jane Montpelier and her horse, Dr. Melody Swan III, PhD, are ready for their shot at Olympic gold. That is, until Dr. Swan breaks her leg attempting a pirouette. But Montpeliers don't give up in the face of adversity. With no dancing horse, Hillary knows she'll have to try something huge to get the judge's attention. Maybe double G huge? But will it be enough? Watch the judges put Hillary through the paces in the Adult Film of the Year, winner of two Jizzies for Best Horse Acting and Best CGI Breast Enhancement, Breastage.
Mm-hmm. Son of a bitch. That's what I get.
I'm so sorry.
Somehow.
Where can we watch this?
Tubi. It's all on Tubi.
Yeah.
Tubi.
Oh, Tubi.
It's going to be heavily pixelated. Oh, that's yay. We got horse fucking in the show.
Whoa. No, you read into that.
The first horse fucking in the show.
All right. Maybe that's just what I wanted. sorry. Thank you, Jack. Eric, hey, let's hear your bootleg dressage.
Okay. Hey there! My name's little Ricky Tinkles, and I'm captain of the Leg Slappers! The Leg Slappers is a group of eight precocious little boys that will follow your horse around and slap its legs to make it do tricks! If you're looking to get into dressage, but you're having trouble controlling your horse, then hire the Leg Slappers! And eight precocious, rosy-cheeked little boys will chase your horse out on the field and slap it so it does dressage stuff! Let's team! We've got Ricky, the leader! Steven, I'm the smart one! JT, I'm the skater! JC, I'm the singer!
Stefan, I'm from France!
Jaquarius, I'm good at soccer.
Hansel, I'm the strong one.
And I'm Chubby Kevin.
We all met in the Tiger Scouts last year, and we realized we don't like camping. We don't like building stuff. But what we do like is hitting stuff. Our Tiger Scout leader would always shout, Ricky, Steven, JT, JC, Stefan, Jaquarius, Hansel, Chubby Kevin, quit slapping that tree. And we said, no, we want to slap. And we all charged our scout leader and started slapping his legs. And to our amazement, he started walking like a fancy horse. And that's how the Leg Slappers were born. Now you're probably thinking, there has to be some rule against eight precocious, rosy-cheeked little boys wearing ninja costumes running out onto the field, chasing your horse around and slapping its legs while making loud hi-yah noises. But there isn't! We scoured the rule book, and just like Chubby Kevin's favorite movie, Air Bud, there's not a rule against it, which means we can do it! So hire the Leg Slappers for your next dressage event. We accept payments in the form of big rainbow lollipop propeller hats. The Leg Slappers. We're the Leg Slappers, the young whippersnappers who slap your horse's legs.
I accidentally gave Eric two more prompts.
You're an idiot.
We've got a 9 o'clock show, Eric.
I don't give a fuck.
All right. Two more times through. Hey, Kim. Let's hear your bootleg hammer throw.
All right. Well, good evening, everyone. As you know, this year I will be organizing our neighborhood's Olympics. It's going to be a fun time. So far we have 18 families committing their own countries to the games. Let's see if we can knock Dr. Asher off that pogo victory. High horse he's been on all year, am I right? But I'm joking. We all respect Dr. Asher. We've got a lot of the same games we had last year. I mean, I'm talking about sack race, dog dressage, bocce ball, and because of our HOA explicitly banning the competitively throwing of axes or any object heavier than 8 pounds after Greg's annual pool party last May, I've got an exciting new game that I think people will find just as good as hammer throw.
Okay.
Hammer catch. Nowhere in the HOA guidelines does it say anything about prohibiting the catching of 8 to 12 pound bowling balls that have been thrown off of Mr. Robinson's second story garage. So players will be judged on entry stance and resolution, the ability to catch the ball, and recovery. And again, just lastly, if you could please sign up for the email potluck chain, it's the list where we're bringing, rather than just waiting and bringing something randomly, I would really appreciate it, because last year it was a huge success, but I just think that, like, we can all agree that 12 plain chips and 8 egg salads does not make a well-rounded barbecue.
That's fair.
Thank you.
That's fair. That's fair. I could have done topical haiku, Jack. thank you, Kim. So good. Hey, Jack, what do you have in the way of a bootleg hammer throw?
Roger Cornelius Smash is an Olympic hopeful with a huge hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And after he wins Olympic gold, everyone wants a piece of this small town hero. Watch as Roger hammers his way through the mayor, the sheriff's department, the volunteer firefighters, and more in this golden cummy winner tour de force hammer blow.
I think we've landed on a theme.
Jack was the only one that understood the assignment. Eric and I fail.
Yeah, yeah. You're not wrong. Hey, Eric. You threatened me with your hammer throw earlier. So let's hear your bootleg hammer throw.
Welcome back to your 2024 Paris Olympic coverage. I'm Kurt Announcer, alongside microphones. We are here in the hamper throw, the sport where athletes take their stinky socks, pants, and undies and attempt to toss them far. If you like putting off laundry, then this is the sport for you. Athletes will be judged on distance, style, and how full the hamper is already, i.e. how many weeks ago they should have done laundry but didn't freaking feel like it. Now the referee is coming out to inspect the clothes to make sure they are, in fact, incredibly stinky, because as we all know, it's illegal to use wash clothes here. Here in the hamper throw. I had a whole bit about this that I want you to know. I'm cutting out. Now, Gary Bulgaria, the young Bulgarian from Bulgaria, is up first. Now, he's known for bringing a lot of flair to the competition, but looks like he's bringing out just a regular pair of Target Denizen jeans. Oh, and the crowd goes wild as he swings the pants around, and they're filled with 3 pairs of soggy briefs. But the young Bulgarian steps up. The crowd goes silent. He tosses the pants and the underpants do that kind of thing where they open midair and then kind of flop down like this, and they land on his cocker spaniel's head. Oh no! And these undies are legally considered 90% skid marks, so that is going to take some resolve to clean up. Now that leaves some room for Schnitzel Fitzel, the German. He only needs to place here, but that's not what he's gonna do. He is going to go for the world record of making an entire one-bedroom apartment without even getting up from his desk. He steps up to, well, he doesn't step up, because I just said he stays sitting down.
Sure.
And it starts to topple. Oh no! Oh, and it catches on the next one because the hammer is broken and he didn't. Because he's lazy as hell. Looks like the German has made the world record. We'll be back to interview our world champion right after these messages.
Your 2024 Olympic coverage is sponsored by the Leg Slappers. We're the Leg Slappers, the young whippersnappers who slap your horse's legs. Hiya.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you.
You're welcome. I edited that a lot as I went.
Well, it's appreciated. but we're sorry for everything that we missed. We'll just imagine it. Third time through the second segment. We're going to do this. Kim, hey, let's hear your bootleg pickleball.
Oh, it's quick. Okay, so this game combines the elements of squash, racquetball, and hitting your opponent with a hard rubber ball.
Mm-hmm.
But it's better. And not just because a pickleball racket and ball cost $30. It's because we have all the makings of a perfectly fun game here at home. And the best part? This game is played with an actual pickle.
Sure.
That's right. We can use the tee balls that we've got in the garage, the side of the house is a court, and a couple of jars of Mount Olive, and boom! I'll take your pickleball and I raise you cucumber boink.
Oh, cucumber boink. The we've got pickleball at home. thank you, Kim. Hey, Jack.
Hi there.
Fuck.
That is the theme.
Yeah.
How could Jack possibly make a game called pickleball sexual?
How could I possibly?
Oh, did Jack zag when we thought they were gonna zig? No. Jack, let's hear your bootleg pickleball.
Nasty twink fuck pigs dominatrix has issued the disgusting little pervert a challenge. He must suck and fuck his way through 30 Olympic pickleball hopefuls before the end of the day, or she'll put his balls in a jar full of brine. Stream the full-length adult horror classic, Pickled Balls, on Tubi today.
Sure.
Tubi. Tubi getting a lot of shout-outs.
I did this to myself. I
fully
realized.
We're going to get a fucking cease and desist from Tubi.
You know what? Let's go for Tubi because we're still trying to court Crackle. So let's just
lean
into Tubi.
You gave up on Sling?
Oh, no. Crackle's our first true love around here, Kim. Three seasons on Crackle. That's all we want. Hey, Eric. Let's wrap up some bootlegging it like 20 minutes ago. let's hear your bootleg pickleball.
Hey, y'all, my name is Jebediah Chickens, and I'm from the Deep South. Now, we love to play games here in the Deep South, but we ain't got access to a whole lot of fancy sports equipment, but what we do have is a lot of pickles. So that's why we invented Ball of Pickles. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's a big old ball of pickles. Now, what we did is we smashed together 800 pickle chips and we squished them all together to make a great big ball of pickles. Mm-mm. Don't that sound nice? But you can't eat it yet, no. Because how you play Ball of Pickles is you take that big, squishy, slimy ball of pickles and you hit it over rackets with a net, or opposite, over a net with a racket.
Yeah.
But we ain't got access to a whole lot of fancy sports equipment like rackets and nets. But what we do have is a whole lot of cornbread. So what we did is we made a racket of cornbread. So you take that crispy, crumbly racket of cornbread, hit the big, squishy ball of pickles over the net of cornbread on a tennis court. But of course, here in the Deep South, we ain't got access to a whole lot of tennis courts. What we do have is a lot of mud. So what we do is we jump in a big old pile of mud, grab our rackets of cornbread, grab our squishy ball of pickles, and start slapping and smacking that thing all over the place till it explodes into a great big pile of pickle chips.
Uh-huh.
Then we squeal and wrestle over the last pickle chip. Whoever eats the last pickle chip and lets out the victory squeal, gets the victory. Last year's champion was me,
Jebediah Chickens. So come on down to the Deep South, because we desperately are seeking new sponsorship after we were recently dropped by the Leg Slappers because we gave Chubby Kevin a heart murmur.
That'll do it. Yeah. Oh, just watching Kim listen to that was worth...
Darling, did you know that somebody from that is currently living in the Deep South would be listening
to
even deeper than Alabama? Yes.
Let me talk to you about some the differences in the dialect and the accents that you're doing that might have been problematic, but we can shelf it for now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also want to point out that my chubby husband Kevin is in the audience, and he is not pleased with you, Eric.
Oh, not chubby Kevin.
No, totally different chubby Kevin. Has he been slapping horses recently?
I mean, it sounds like him, to be honest. Legs.
It does like something he would
We have got a hurdle forward quickly. It's segment three. It's celebration time. Oh, boy, do days keep happening. As much as I'd like them to just slow the fuck down, if not stop. But as soon as they're not, as soon as you're not seeing any more days happen around you, is the same time you realize you're dead. So, given the alternative, let there be days. And in celebration time, we celebrate the passage of days by giving our panelists two happenings that happened to happen on this day sometime in the past, and asking them to tell us how they've already been or plan to be celebrating them in tandem. So let's celebrate another day of not having a day. Kim Martell, let's hear how you've been celebrating these two things. Why, in 1988, Canadian hockey player Wayne Gretzky was traded from the Edmonton Oilers to the Los Angeles Kings. Meanwhile, 5 years prior in 1983, Canadian actor and comedian Dan Levy was born. How have you celebrated those two things?
Okay, so you may think that these two people have nothing in common. Gretzky, for example, was born in late January, making him an Aquarius. And of course, today being Levy's birthday, he's a Leo. And those two signs are polar opposites. But maybe the reason to celebrate these two together is actually their similarities.
Okay.
Both men were born in Ontario.
Oh.
They're both authors of books related to their accomplishments. Mm-hmm. Both are heavy drinkers. Gretzky has his own winery and whiskey distillery. And Levy has partnered with the triple sec maker Cretoy, or I don't know, it's French, so fuck him.
Yeah.
Because he basically sustains himself on Cosmopolitans.
Nice.
Despite their bold celebrity personalities, in reality, both Gretzky and Levy are self-described introverts.
Sure.
So how I plan to celebrate these two shy Canadians turn Los Angelesisins is I'm going to have a little party at home. I'm going to play some Maribeth Solomon music, read the children's book Z is for Zamboni, and obviously G is for Gretzky,
sure,
and get absolutely trashed.
Nice. Oh, that sounds fantastic. Can we all just go home and celebrate Gretzky and Levy? Thank you, Kim. Wonderful. Sounds like a great day you're having. Hey, Jack.
Hello.
Typical Friday night.
So, well, yeah. I mean, I was going to say, what's different? Jack Marie, in 1930, Betty Boop, created by Max Fleischer, makes her debut appearance in the cartoon Dizzy Dishes. Meanwhile, just 38 years later, American director and producer Mick G was born. How are you celebrating those two things?
Well, first of all, I understand that you gave me this prompt because you like it when my voice gets breathy.
Oh, well, hey there.
So I'm not going to do that, you pervert.
But I've got a podium.
Boop-boop-a-doop, Jesse.
Hi.
You know me, so I'm sure you're not surprised that we go all out for Betty Boop McGee Day in our house.
Mm-hmm.
The day begins with face painting. The whole party gets painted like dogs to honor Betty's birth as a half-poodle woman. After breakfast, we perform the ceremonial washing of the faces to honor Betty's rebirth as a full-on human.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sure.
Next, it's time for karaoke. We encourage each other to take risks in remembrance of when McG convinced Mark McGrath he did have the vocal chops to sing Fly, which launched Mark's frosted tips into the ska rock stratosphere. You can handle that single key change, Mark. McG believes in you. After lunch, we put on a holiday stage production of an episode of producer McG's hit CW series, Supernatural, with Sam and Dean Winchester recast as Betty Boop and her fat boyfriend Bimbo, respectively. And finally, we are all devoured by the giant armored centipedes that that exist in the universe in which this rancid holiday is celebrated. Their armor is articulated steel plate, and they wear heavy steel boots on each of their hundreds of legs, except for the first set, which they obviously use to hold their swords and for smithery. You can hear the horde coming from miles away, so we knew as we were applying our face paint this morning that we were fated to die by day's end. We are one of the last remaining clans of humans after the worldwide war with the giant centipedes was lost, primarily due to our puny amount of feet. No one remembers how the war began. But we are just glad that we got to celebrate our favorite holiday with friends and family in our hiding place in the underground ruins of the old city sewer system before our end came. Let the world know that we went out fighting, rocks and sticks in hand, but the enemy simply had too many feet. Godspeed, humanity.
Yeah. What?
I hated that prompt.
Oh, okay. You know what? That's fair. Now that you put it that way.
Bimbo.
Yeah. Character lost to time. Again, I'm sorry. Apparently I've angered everyone today. But Betty Boop.
Typical Friday night.
Yeah. I hated it because it, you know, made me think about my own shortcomings, like not knowing who any of these people are.
Oh, that's fair.
Like, I mean, I vaguely know Betty Boop. There's a clock with eyes.
Sure.
Yeah, I saw that before.
That's Felix the cat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That was all I could think of.
I wasn't,
Felix the fucking cat.
I wasn't going to correct you because it felt like you needed that. Thank you, Jack. Hey, Eric.
Hello.
Let's hear what you've been up to. In 1944, United States Forest Service and the Wartime Advertising Council releases posters featuring Smokey Bear for the first time. And on the same exact damn day, American actor and producer Sam Elliott was born. How the hell have you been celebrating that?
All right. Hey, kids, thank you once again for coming out to Smokey Fest, the festival here in the forest where we celebrate Smokey the Bear and everything he has done to teach our youth about fire safety. Mm-hmm. Okay, now every year we have a special guest come sing songs to the kids about fire safety, and this year is very special because this actor shares a birthday with our friend Smokey. You probably know him as the caretaker from the 2007 film Ghost Rider. It's Sam Elliott. Let's bring him out. Big round of applause for Sam.
Most recognizable role.
Now, Mr. Elliott is going to, yes, that's right, Johnny. It was a very recognizable role. Thank you for that input. Now, Mr. Elliott is going to sing a few songs for us, but to start, I have a question. What could happen to our clothes if we ever got too close to a fire? Mm. They could burn!
That's right.
But Sam Elliott is going to sing a song about what to do if your clothes catch on fire. Take it away, Sam.
Now, fire breather, fly reader, your clothes catch on fire. That is not a dog in the room. That dog in the it might be cane on fire. Snap, snap, cover in there.
Okay. Great. Sam, I think we might have had a little trouble understanding that one. So let's just really enunciate on this next one, okay? But great. Now, sometimes I think we might get a little too close to a fire, and we get a bad burn, right? Do you think we want to get burned? No, but sometimes it happens, and Sam here is going to tell us what we do if we ever do get a bad burn, okay? Take it away, Sam, and remember, really enunciate those words, okay?
of course. And if you get a bad burn, you're going to want to put that burn in cool water for 20 minutes.
Okay, Sam. Sam, I'm gonna be honest. We're thrilled to have you here, but we can't make out what you're saying at all. So you know what? Maybe this time, let's try getting a little closer to the microphone, okay? Now, if we're cooking on a pan and we have a grease fire, do we pour water on that grease fire? No! Sam, what do we do instead? Okay, Sam, your voice is too deep. We can't understand what you're saying. Off in the distance, a child yells, "Help! There's a grease fire in one of the Smokey the Bear themed food trucks!"
Don't pour water on it.
Oh no, they poured water on it! It splashed everywhere, and the amber landed on his clothes, making them burn!
I'm going wrong.
Oh no! The cook didn't realize the fire breathes air just like we do, so he started running, but the fire breathed in all the extra air he's giving it, and the fire got bigger. It's burning his skin.
Put the burn in cool water for 20 minutes.
Oh no! The burns on his skin that could have been only a second degree burn have turned into third degree burns, and yeah, now he's gonna have to get special surgeries called skin grafts. The video pauses and a spokesperson walks out. A life could have been saved that day. If only the venue had hired a celebrity whose voice wasn't so difficult to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope this teaches you a lesson about ensuring that all of America's educators today are qualified for the job. And now to tell us a little bit more about it, here's Michael McDonald.
Thanks all the American because we need every kind of help.
Yeah. Oh, heavens. Oh, I didn't see the news about Sam Elliott having a stroke. But apparently...
He's hard to understand.
Okay. I thought he just had a nice, rich, meaty baritone. But no.
No, he's like a talking Bob Dylan.
All right. All right. When you put it that way. It's segment four. It's Angry Poem. I can tell you a little bit about anger, the time I've been having recently. But it would all be repeated expletives and guttural noises. Not very poetic. But mayhaps you're a little more flowery when you get angry. I hope so. The entire segment depends on that fact. Because in writing an angry poem about it, you've been asked to write an angry poem about the following subjects. Kim Martell, let's hear your angry poem about mismatched socks.
Okay, so this poem is called Lost Socks, Lost Souls, A Stream of Consciousness, Waking Nightmare. Tiny socks, tiny Minecraft keeper, tiny Spider-Man, tiny Pikachu, tiny Lightning McQueen. I just saw you. A tiny Lightning McQueen. Was it your mate? Or was it just you somewhere else? Tiny Gold Toe. I just bought you, Gold Toe. Where did your partner go? Thrown around the room like confetti. Confetti that costs $24 for six pairs.
Mm-hmm.
17 single socks laid out on the dresser like a deeply unsatisfying game of memory. 17 socks hidden around the house like Easter eggs, taunting me, hiding in the fitted sheets, under the dining room table, on the fireplace mantle, in a suitcase in the bathroom. Occasionally, I'll find you under the passenger seat of my car. Just one. Do I carry its dirty blue body inside only to learn that there are actually 18 mismatched socks? I don't know if I can fit any more socks on this dresser. But I can't get rid of it, lest I find the mate.
Yeah.
And then I've just created another mismatched sock. These socks are not mine, but I have to tend to them. A garden that flourishes far beyond any plants I've ever attempted to grow. Faint memories of a sock in the toy room. Maybe Buzz Lightyear? Is that you? Minecraft villager? Why do you even get your own sock? Maybe I'll throw them all away and liberate myself from this fantasy of reconciliation. Then, even if I found them all, the lost socks, I would still only be tending to 19 socks. But wait. Hope in a hopeless endeavor. As he outgrows them, before they can be reunited. And so all of my effort, my searching, is for nothing.
Yeah. I forgot this would trigger something, since you have a first grader?
Yeah.
Yeah. So all of that coming from a very, very real place. Thank you, Kim. And I'm sorry that I triggered that.
What the fuck, Jesse?
Yeah, I didn't think about it, and now I'm very, very sorry.
I'm going to send you 27 mismatched socks that are all this big.
Thanks. Hey, Jack.
Hey there.
We've heard an angry poem about mismatched socks. Let's hear your angry poem about flowing locks.
Oh my God, fuck flowing locks. Long hair can eat a bag of cocks. Mm-hmm. You want a diet with just one box? Fuck you, you fool, you stupid whore. Buy two or three or even four. And when you drive home from the store, you'll shut those tresses in the door. And they'll pull on your head, putting pressure on your brain, giving you a nasty migraine. Don't ever get caught in heavy rain, or it'll drip down your back, a freezing river through your butt crack. Mm-hmm. And you have to brush it at an angle, or else your stupid hair will tangle. And look at all the combs I've mangled. You can take your long, long hair and stick it up your derriere. God, you'd probably like that, you freak. Flowing locks, bag of cocks, the end.
Yeah, I'm glad we got to revisit that. The perfect rhyme. That's what I imagined. Thank you, Jack. What do we got? Oh, we got a good natty light. Yeah. Oh, Kim is asking for another one from someone downstairs. This is the Kim Martell system of getting another beer. Now watch it appear.
I don't know if it's going to happen this time. I've been wagging this empty beer around.
It's been a while. It's been a while. All right, Jack, thank you. Eric, we've heard an angry poem about mismatched socks. We've heard an angry poem about flowing locks. Let's hear your angry poem about guys named Brock.
All right. I was worried that this was going to be a little too graphic, but Jack's been here, so yeah.
No,
here we
fine.
Go.
We're fine. Jizzy Award or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah. I decided long ago, if your name is Brock, you gots to go. Everybody named Brock, go and get gone. Because the only Brock I love is the from Pokemon. Bless your soul if you're not familiar with him. He's the leader of the Pewter City Gym. Mm-hmm. Strong, tan, with an ass that's hot, tight. As for his Pokemon, mostly rock type. And I thought someday I could tell him how I feel, but he's an anime character. He's not real. And so when I meet a Brock, it makes me feel shitty, because it reminds me of my love from Pewter City. And when I meet a Brock, I say, you're real rude, making me confused with your lack of Geodudes. I thought that I could have the love that I wanted, but I look at you and I don't see a single Onyx. So recently I met a man named Brock, not a brainy guy, a personal trainee guy, a jock, a man who works out and eats all his broccoli, but he might as well come nothing but a mockery. So I confronted him and I said, change your name. There's only one Brock that I want to claim. But he lifted his head and to my surprise, he pierced my soul with single line drawn on eyes. I looked more at this beautiful angel, orange shirt, green vest, hair made of little brown triangles. It was my true love, Brock. I said, what do I do? In his strong, deep voice, he said, kiss me, you fool. So into his strong, musky arms I sprung. I'm not Pokemon 108, but I did lick a tongue. And he knows I want more, and we're just getting started. I might as well be Metapod, the way he made me harden. Mm-hmm. He said, I want you, but I need you to feel it. I grabbed his loins, and he's as hard as a Steelix. So I turn him around, and I pull down his shorts. He says, what are you doing? I say, ass to mouth, of course. And with all the ferocity of a... And with all the ferocity of a burrowing diglet, I grab a hold of his ass and I start to lick it. I keep going and going and I never once stall. I turn my man red and white when I pokeball. With the fire of a Charizard, licking that rectum. I say, when I'm done, you can call me Ass Ketchum. Now it's time for the big show. So he turns around and in that strong voice, he says, pants on the ground. And in the flickering light of a not distant Vulpix, we both drop our trousers to reveal our full dicks. I'm turned around into the carpet. I'm thrown. He cues the bone and I cue the moans. Using all kinds of moves I've never seen employed. He starts to scream my name, but I say, call me Nurse Joy. It's a glorious night of sucking and fucking. Just to heighten the pleasure, we let Grimer and Muck in. And just at the apex of pleasure and steam, I awake in my bed. It was nothing but a dream.
Oh.
I didn't meet the leader of the Pewter City Gym. And what's worse, I was never railed by him. And so I know I'll never be slammed by that perfect cock. They make me think of what will never be, which is why I hate guys named Bro.
Oh, heavens.
Dude, if there's only one thing that's going to get you fucking fired, it's gonna be somebody finding this.
Oh no. This is fine for someone who teaches fire safety to elementary school children. This is fine. This is fine. They don't Pokemon anymore. They would never even understand this.
That was so beautiful. That was beautiful.
Oh.
Thank you.
It was thoroughly enjoyed by the audience here that are of a Pokemon age. completely over my head. Sorry, I just missed it. I just missed Pokemon. Segment 5 is podcast, and we finally made it to the final segment. Hooray. The humble podcast. It's a labor of love, really, when you think about it. Because why else would one subject themselves to such brutal ego assailment unless it was for the love of the thing they kept doing for 11 and a half years without anyone noticing? Why else, indeed? And so it is in Podcast It that our panelists have been asked to give us, us their rundowns, recaps, and summaries of the specific passion project podcasts of these various persons, things, or what have yous. This is what Kim complained about an hour ago. Kim Martell.
Wah, wah, wah.
Finally bringing it back. Kim, let's hear. We do so much content around here, and we never revisit it. I thought it would be fun to use the... Kim.
Was this a platform where we revisit things?
Kind of. Now it is.
Yep.
We're finally...
Now you're making it a thing.
We're finally eating our own tail. Kim Martell.
Oh, man, I've been eating my own tail for what?
Yeah. Just like Eric's laid out
shit,
for us.
Man.
Eating all that tail.
I'm going to need that in a Google Doc sent to me immediately.
Kim Martell.
Fair. Totally fair. I get it.
Let's hear your recap, summary, rundown, what have you, of a fan TV recap show of any show from a new fall lineup prompt you've ever done on Stab. It's a very
totally inside. Fine.
Yeah, everything's fine.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to A Red Terror, the number one non-official podcast breaking down Peacock's surprise original series, The Scarlet Letter, but with explosions. I'm your host, Maxine Hart, and today we're unpacking all the references, Easter eggs, and things you might have missed in this week's Episode 1, Season 2, Dial A for Explosion. Now, there are going to be some spoilers here, so if you haven't seen the episode and you don't know what happens and you don't want it spoiled for you, just turn the volume all the way down, but keep it playing in the background, sure, because monetization makes a big deal about people leaving it in the first 60 seconds of a podcast. But let's get into it. First of all, a lot of people are asking if we need to investigate where Hester got all that C4 in season one. And to them, I just gotta say, this show was directed by Michael Bay. So drop it already. We're never gonna find out.
No.
Suspend your disbelief and move on. Okay, all that being said, do I think it was a bit of a jump when it was revealed that Hester actually had twins and that the second baby also has a massive amount of C4 of unexplained origin? I think we're actually going to see this unfold in a really interesting way in future episodes. And if anyone's read the non-official fanfic books written by Dwayne The Rock Johnson, they know what I'm talking about. But again, we don't know if those are canon. And I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't read it, but you should. The Rock's really missed his calling. I mean, I hope the people at Peacock have the rights to that courtroom explosion scene because, well, you know what? I've already said too much. Just go read the books, all right? Look, after that look that Roger Chillingworth shot to Mistress Hebbins, it's pretty clear season two is going to be as much sploosh as it is boom, if you catch my drift. And I personally am here for it. All right, you guys. Well, this has been A Red Terror. Until next time, I'm your host, Maxine Hart. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Kim. Aren't you so glad you got to revisit that? You're welcome.
You know what? Fuck it. I was really pleased.
Yeah.
I was really pleased going back to The Scarlet Letter, but with explosions.
Sure.
And I'm glad that I got to bring in Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, yeah. And they're...
He's a gem.
Yeah. He truly is. He's more than we deserve.
He invented jabroni.
Sure.
Every time you say jabroni, a little part of you should be thankful
for
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Sure. I mean, I think Iron Sheik probably invented it 20 years before. But sure. Kim Martell.
Whoa. You hold the phone, mister.
Sorry.
I will Google it, and we'll get back to this later.
All right. Kim, how can people enjoy more Kim Martell out in the world?
Oh, man. Well, I shop at the Winn-Dixie down the street.
Oh, okay.
Mom Hat Studios will be doing more of the... hen time of our lives. Mm-hmm. If you like video games and new video games that are just coming out and you're not sure whether or not what you should play, because there's tons of stuff coming out all the time, our Listen to Player 2 is actually a really good way to figure out if it's something that you would want to watch or listen to or play. Because as much as we do sort of like grab ass for an hour, we do try to give people a pretty good idea of what the games are. So you can go on to the YouTube or the Podbean or wherever it is that people listen to stuff watch stuff, and you could do that.
Yeah, and we know nothing about grab ass for an hour around these parts. So
well, it's something new that you could maybe try.
Yeah.
Honk honk.
So much to be had and enjoyed over at Mom Hat. Thank you, Kim. Always a pleasure. Hey, Jack.
Hello.
Hi there. Let's hear about your podcast. let's hear a rundown recap summary of a podcast. Fuck. A podcast about a very specific interest of yours.
Yeah.
Why?
I was going to make up something funny, but then I thought, no, he's asked for sincerity.
Yeah.
He's asked for my interests. Hey there, and welcome to my podcast. It's been 1 year since Larian Studios' record-setting, award-winning, open-world RPG Baldur's Gate 3 was released. Since then, I've spent thousands of hours immersed in the story, the characters, and the combat, and I'm a huge fan of all the various podcasts on the game. There's Baldur's Great, where hosts Jim and Greg see how much cheese they can grate during the enemy combat turns. Baldur's Eighth, where hosts Sam and Jim get really high and discuss the gray morality of murdering those two goblin children so they can't run and alert the guards, even though you're totally going to kill those guards anyway. And my personal favorite, Baldur's Cake, where hosts Greg and Sam compare each Faerun NPC in a March Madness-style competition to find the perfect pixelated posterior. And Gortash is already out of the running. Sorry, you weird Gortash simps. But there's one part of the game that no one seems to be talking about, and I think you'll agree that it's arguably the best part of the year's best game. It's a topic near and dear to my heart, so let's get into it.
Let's.
Baldur's Gate 3 Flaccid Dick Physics.
There we are.
As you know, all playable Baldur's Gate characters are completely anatomically correct, and you can and should make them play the entire game naked, because those glorious, weightless, floppy dicks enhance every single moment. Defeating General Kethric Thorm is so much more satisfying when you can stand over his corpse and jiggle your flaccid member at him. And two floppy dicks caught in a gentle breeze make for the perfect background for the tender scene where Astarion holds your hand and takes his first steps toward love after 200 years of Cazador's cruelty. I never want that scene to have pants again. In the studio with me today is Dick Smith, the renowned motion capture artist who did almost all of the flaccid dick work for the game. Of course, Dave Jones did Halston's dick work himself, in both human and bear form, but I couldn't get him because he was busy. Dick will describe his artistic process. Also, here's Champ Johnson of the Entertainment Software Ratings Board to explain exactly why all the titties are required to be rock hard and immobile, and all the dicks flaccid and floppy, to protect the sensibilities of the American gamer. And finally, artist Peter Pecker, who makes his living selling pastel drawings of your favorite characters with erections. It takes a steady hand and a lot of imagination, but his vein game is second to none. All this and more when we come back.
Oh, thank you, Jack. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, how can people get more Jack Marie where they work in bank?
I mean, you can follow me on Instagram, Himbo Hotamus. Scroll a little bit, and you'll probably be able to figure out where I live. Come over sometime. Oh. I won't be ready. We don't have snacks, but...
Well, maybe not, then.
Yeah.
Well... Awesome. Yeah. Always good to have you. I'll try and surprise you more.
Excellent.
With invites and then forgetting about them and then being abruptly reminded of them. wonderful, Jack. Hey, Eric, let's close out this gosh darn show. But before you do, tell us how people can enjoy more Eric Barger out in the wild.
You can find me on Instagram at itelectric. That's anything I do there, anything I do will be put there. That's my central hub. And, you know, if you're interested in a fun stop motion sitcom about a raptor and a horse, go to Instagram or YouTube and find Raptor on a Horse. We have 8 episodes and they're really fun.
They are. Lots of fun. Eric, everything you do is wonderful and wholesome, especially... poems about gym leaders. Eric, let's close out this program. Let's hear your podcast, hosted by the contents of your trunk.
Okay. This is so stupid. Approximately 24 to 72 hours ago, 3 items from this trunk were asked to give comedic takes on prompts that they will now perform for the first and likely last time in a show called
Trunk. Welcome to Trunk. Let's meet tonight's panel. First up, it's an old bag that's good at keeping the heat alive. It's Old Pizza Carry Bag from Domino's. Second, they're fuzzy, they're frayed, and they just want to be thrown away. It's Spare Car Matt. And last but not least, why are they in here? Because Molly reasonably told Eric they don't have room for them in the apartment. It's three Nerf guns. And I'm your host, Jumper Cable Jones, saying, I'm the junk inside this trunk. All right, let's get the dang thing started. Your first prompt is podcast it. Yes, it seems like podcasts are everywhere these days. Sometimes you're even asked to pretend to do a podcast on a podcast. Mm-hmm. That's a prompt within a podcast. Mm-hmm. But enough about that meta nonsense. As we ask our panelists to kindly podcast about the following things that would be considered funny to the stuff inside of a trunk. Old Domino's Bag, you're up first. How about you give us your version of a podcast hosted by the parts inside of the engine underneath us? Of course. Approximately 24 to 72 hours ago, three items inside this engine were asked to give potentially comedic takes on various prompts that they will now perform for the first and likely last time.
We're all gonna die here.
In a show called Engine. Welcome to Engine. Let's meet tonight's panel. First, the ladies love his rotating shaft. It's Camshaft Schmidt. Next up, it's installed where the pan attaches to the engine block. It's Gasket Marie. And lastly, it surrounds the crankshaft. It's an engine show favorite. It's Sump. And I'm your host, Fuel Injecty Jones, saying, I'm the real dipstick of this place. Let's get the dang thing started, shall we? Your first prompt is podcast it. Yes, it seems podcasts are everywhere these days. Heck, sometimes you're even asked a podcast about being on a podcast. That's a pretend podcast on a pretend podcast on a real podcast. Follow all that? Heck, I wrote it and even I couldn't follow it. But in podcast, all you have to follow is your words as we ask you to reenact these podcasts by things that would be funny to pieces of an engine. Camshaft, you're up first. Let's hear your podcast hosted by some knucklehead in Sacramento and his stupid ass meta friends. Of course. Approximately 24 to 72 hours ago, three panelists were asked to give their takes on five comedic prompts that they will for the first and likely last time in a show called Stab. Welcome to Stab. Let's meet tonight's panel. First up, he's a comedian from Los Angeles and one half of Raptor on a Horse. It's Eric Barger.
Jesse, stop.
Yes?
I'm inside my own prompt. Can't you see? We've become nothing but puppets.
Oh, sorry, I'm such a stupid stickhead.
Stop insulting yourself all the time! We don't have time for it!
Can't you see the entire fabric of reality is collapsing in on itself? Oh no! All the prompts are colliding! Oh, there's Sam Elliott having sex with Brock from Pokemon!
That feels so good, Brock.
I can't understand what you're saying.
And there's a ball of pickles getting married to Richard's mom.
Dude, don't you hear? I'm from the deep south.
Jesse, I think this is the end.
What?
Don't worry.
Woo.
It's Chubby Kevin. Hey. Listen. I know it all seems hopeless now,
But just as you've been following my story, there's a man who's been following yours. And he has the power to save this world. He can end this stupid meta bullshit. His name is Jet Ski Jones. And only he has the power to save this never-ending stab prompt. Jet Ski, if you're out there, save Stab by saying, "And that's been the Stab Show." Save us, Jet Ski. End the show. End the show, Jet Ski.
Oh,
I'm actually giving you permission. Save the Stab.
And Stab is over. Thank you all so much for joining us tonight. Oh, we got too deep. And of course, a special thank you to our incredible panel, Kim Martell, Jack Marie, and Eric Barger. Oh, want to catch the Stab Show live as it happens? Well, you can do that in person by coming down to Stab Comedy Theater Friday nights at 7:30, or from impersonal by tuning in to Stab TV on Twitch. Both ways are valid, just as you are. Or if you'd rather have Stab in your pocket, where and whenever, just subscribe to the Stab Show via the podcast provider of your choice. And if you decide to like, comment, and share while you're at it, that wouldn't hurt our feelings either. But unfortunately, that's all we got for you tonight. So until next time, I've been your host, Jesse Jones, reminding you to duck and take one step to your left tomorrow afternoon at 2:41. You'll be glad you did.